Good morning and welcome to the Mondo Homunculero podcast. Coming to you from Thanadero Studios at Casa de Mondo Zaskia. Welcome, everyone. It is Tuesday. It's a day of Mars, a day of assertion. Let's fill ourselves with confidence. Let's remember everything that we like about ourselves. What works for us? What's good for us? Let's remember all of this right now. Let's remember it. Yeah. I want us all to go to a place, all of those of us who wish to go to a place, where we succeeded, where we did enough of the right things to make everything work for us. And how we did that with confidence. Because we are a confident lot. We know what our strengths are, and we know how to build upon the weaknesses that will become more strengths. We know who we are. Current mission in life. What is the spirit, the will to thrive and grow that we are immersed in this moment? And let us examine love. In other words, unconditional positive regard for ourselves. After this, we could go into our assets and liabilities. We can assess. Let us remember that the spirit, the purpose of what we're doing. Some people don't like purpose. Well, you know what? You could take your postmodernism and put a little lube on it and shove it up your ass. And let us remember that everything that we do or adopt is subject to change. That all these things are fleeting. They're ephemeral in that sense. Let's remember that. Before I get the cybernetic critics who won't listen to what I say anyway because, of course, they're more brilliant than any of us. It doesn't matter if they're brilliant or not. I'm not here to judge who they are. I don't care. Now, with that attitude, and we know what our purpose or our spirit, our motivation, our prime motive is, what we are seeking. For me, it's creating power within myself. That's right. And from that, we will construct an identity that will help us reach this. We'll create an environment. We'll create or adopt behaviors. We may gain a following. And remember this also. A lot of people seem to have found themselves hung up on identity about who they are. Okay. So here's one way to figure out who that is. When you wake up in the morning, pinch yourself. That's who you are. That's what you are. You're a human being, and you're living in a physical body. Now, we don't know whether that which we think animates us, the kia, or the spirit of us, lives on or dies. I'm pretty sure that it goes into an oblivion of sorts. That's my personal opinion. So the importance of everything, like Eckhart Tolle talks about, is the now. Like the Buddhists talked about. There is no time. What we have is now. And it's not an is, it's not a being. We exist in the now. And that's our eternity. The now works like eternity for us. I think we've gotten hung up on a lot of things because of our ego and the fear that keeps us trapped in that falsehood. Because the ego really doesn't exist. It's a figment of our internal processes, our internal psychological and emotional processes. That's, in my opinion and experience, that's what the ego is. I had a sponsor in the program that told me that I wouldn't come off my ego. Well, he knew that from his own experience, and he was projecting his experience onto me. And I don't find myself feeling compassion for people who have consciously adopted the practices of stupidity. Now, that stupidity requires a value judgment. And here's my critical movement for this day. Stupidity is when we do things that cause us harm, cause harm to others, and they're mistakes which a lot of us make consciously or through our own ignorance. Now, in this society or country, this collection of subunits we call the United States, really don't like the whole America thing. I really want to drop the America label out of my definition. So I'm going to attempt to use other terms instead of America. So these United States are comprised of quite a few different realities and mentalities. Our reality becomes peppered with perceptions of what we think we know about the world. Most of us don't know much. We get about, what is the number, 0.00003% of all the information that's coming at us. It's about what we can perceive, and who knows how much of that we actually perceive. We don't know. We have no way of measuring it. Yeah, no way at all of measuring that. At this point, I just want to point out that we have chosen much of our reality from the information that we have perceived and filtered. And therein lies the problem. Now, a lot of us, I want to jump to politics here for a second and political philosophy for a second. A lot of us think that there are those who are better equipped to manage and administer processes in our society through an agency we've created called government. And so we all know government, we have local government, we have municipal government, we have county government, we have state government, we have federal government, we have all the agencies of the federal government, and the state and the county and the city. We have all these things. And these things we have been taught by people like that old criminal Ronald Reagan, that old scumbag that people just thought was, they thought he was the new FDR. And what he was a dirty, rotten enemy of the people, whose bones should be dug up and burned and cursed, and his philosophy extracted from the mainstream of America. There I go. From the mainstream of this country and this society, of which the supposed conservatives have adopted him as their great hero, when actually Ronald Reagan has no status as a hero. He, by his efforts and his cronies, effectively waged a war on the middle class and destroyed the middle class, which is still in its destructive pace. Now, through that, a lot of people really liked him, and so they came to believe in him as some kind of a great leader, which he was not. He was an actor who was largely scripted, who threw a little bit of cynical anecdote into many things, and knew how to pose himself as heroic, which he was not. You know, Gorbachev and the Soviets brought down the wall, not Ronald Reagan. I mean, we can go through all the shit that he pulled. We can cover all that. I don't want to spend much time on him, because I hate that son of a bitch. And I hated those who came after him. Well, H.W. Bush at least was very intelligent, much more so than Reagan. His son was a total bozo, is a total bozo, that was manipulated by Rumdum and by Cheney. There's the real culprit. There's the real thug right there. The capitalist thug, Cheney. War criminals, all. So once again, I want to call on all of you to help all of us who are engaged in the class struggle, because that's what it is. It's not racism. It's not xenophobia. It's a class struggle by which racism, xenophobia, fear is used to keep the masses under the thumb of business. Most business has benefit. Some, enough of, that have a lot of economic power, have too much power and strip us of a lot of the benefit that we get. Let's face it, most businesses do not have a democratic process. Most do not. They do not have a democratic process. That's the problem in our society. It ranges from where we spend a third of our lives, at least half of our waking lives, employed. Now, there are those who are self-employed. There are those who own and operate businesses. That's about 30 million of us. That's 10%. Who are not so relegated to having themselves employed by a group or business. However, the majority of us who work do not have that freedom. And is it really freedom? Well, a lot of the business people tell you no, because they're too heavily regulated, they're too heavily taxed, they have to pay wages. Well, these are the things that weigh up whether you're going to be in business or not. If you can't pay an employee a livable wage in the area in which your business operates, maybe with some incentives, not just a livable wage, but a wage that has disposable income, maybe you ought to not have employees. Now, that's the big argument that the conservatives have. They're not conservatives, they're reactionaries, that they have against a higher minimum wage. Poo, 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 poo. Well, then we're going to have businesses that are largely owned by the employees. More of those is what we really need, right? Okay, so back to stupidity. It's rampant in our society. I would say probably 35% of us are pretty fucking stupid. We're doing things that just are against our best interest because it sounds like great. It's our team. It's the New England Patriots of politics, or was. This year, it's Tampa Bay and that traitor Bruce Arians. He's a traitor. He left Arizona Cardinals behind, but that's because probably of their ownership. That's why he probably retired and then resurfaced in that. I don't like Florida. I don't like that place. I don't like the mix of people that are there. There's some great white liberal, black liberal, you know, people of color, liberal. I don't want to say liberal. I don't like liberal, but let's say people of the people there in Florida. There are a lot of them there. Yeah, there's a lot of people like us there. So we like them. But I just don't like the country. The South is too humid for me. It's too wet. There's too many bugs. Sorry, folks. Don't like it. I'm a desert rat. I don't have to live there. So if you live there and you love it, I bless you. You're doing what you want. That's a good thing. So back to the stupidity. It's like, why did people build their houses in a floodplain where there is no flood control? A lot of people live their lives that way. Yeah. God damn. Now, I've done that myself. I mean, I've lived a life where I spent most of my time doing things that were counterproductive to my advancement in life. It took me till I was about 45 years old. Well, actually, till I was about 43, 42, started putting it together for myself to have some self-sufficiency. And then I've managed to screw it up a few times along the way. That's normal, that's human, and I've managed to mostly recover from that. I'm not better than anyone else. I just have my experience. I'm just saying these things as maybe some kind of partial example, because I know that there's people who are happy, who have love in their lives. I know there's people who are loving, caring, compassionate individuals. And that's their success in life. It's not through the money they have or possessions they have or their affiliations or their personal power. It's because they live in human love, which has no perfection involved. Perfection is a phony ideal. What is perfect? Well, that's somebody's idea of what that is. That's not what perfect would really be if it existed. You know, some of the New Agers have taught that we're perfectly imperfect. Okay, I could go along with that to a certain extent. I just choose not to get into that kind of labeling. We do what we do, and that constitutes the series of events that make up our lives. And if we have any continuity and remember that which is good to remember for us, beneficial for us to remember, then we might continue in the success of living well according to our desires. However, lots of people think, you see, we have this lifestyle, not all of us, but there's a good proportion of us, and it's true amongst a lot of younger folks, you know, the 20 to 44 age group, who, you know, when I was that age, I felt bulletproof, and I know a lot of people who also did. We felt like, well, you know, we just can't fail. We won't fail. And contrary to what we saw around us, was a lot of abject failure due to making the same mistakes repeatedly and expecting different results without changing strategies. And you can call that insanity. I call it stupidity because it lacked the analysis to effect another way to succeed. And then there are those, a small percentage, who did capitalize on those things. I think a lot of folks capitalized on their strengths and found new strengths. Some folks found their mistakes and found out what was the error in all of that and all of those mistakes, and then turned that into opportunities to succeed, to move forward. And that's on a lot of different levels. I mean, we can succeed at love. We can succeed at our career. We can succeed in our inner self. I don't think there's really anything to succeed at in that area. I think that we already have everything there. I'm kind of go along with Tali on that one. We have everything there already. It's already wonderful. And what we have to do is to get the crap that we've been indoctrinated with out of the way. However, if I live in my resentments, if I live in my fears, if I live in the anger, if I live in the things that hold me back, then I'm acting stupid. That's right. So a lot of our lifestyle is around this instant gratification, like, I need to get out, I need to be with people, I need to get drunk in the bar. You know, there's quite a few young folks like that. I need to get laid all the time. I need to make a lot of money. I need to become one of the 1%. That kills people. And the unrealistic expectations behind that. So in the old days, we used to say, well, you need positive expectations. Okay, so if you don't beat yourself up for the errors made, and the mistakes, then that can work out okay. I just think that we get intentions and we move on them. We move on them in whatever realms we can move. Now, some of us do esoteric work, so we can move on those things in a so-called spiritual type realm. Others of us, we do the footwork. We put one foot in front of the other one with intentions in mind, with goals. The whole goal thing has been proven as a total bunch of bullshit, especially all the supposed research that came out of Ivy League schools, all bullshit. There's a great book I want to turn everybody on to. It's called In 59 Seconds, and it has some very useful little exercises and some very useful information. And that tells us that we can develop this inner strength and confidence and build on things and work towards our intentions and our wants and desires. So what has happened is a lot of us have come to think that getting all that sex and getting all that money and getting all those possessions and having all that adulation from others is a big deal. Okay, well, you can do that if you want, and there's people that will follow you and that will go for what you're doing. And then there's those who have no care for any of that, who do what they do because they enjoy doing it and because it has benefit in what they deem as important. And I hope that, you know, And that can stretch over into that other category. However, what I see is just tons and tons of people who are off in this world where they got to have all this, they got to get all this. And now, here comes my little sociological diatribe for the morning, my little political diatribe, my little science-based medical diatribe. I have both Pfizer vaccinations, and I'm very, very proud that I was able to get them. I'm very satisfied. The data is showing that If you've had both vaccinations, you're probably, it's probably 90% effective. Well, I'm going to go with 90% over wondering whether I have natural immunity. I'm not going to wonder about whether I have natural immunity or not. I'm going to be safe. And I just hope that if there's anybody out there who's hesitating, who can get vaccinated, who hasn't been vaccinated as yet, go get vaccinated. Let's get this thing under control, so to speak. Let's get this thing whipped. If you don't want to get vaccinated, I was talking to somebody yesterday. Oh, I get sick when I get the flu vaccination. They adopted the falsehoods and the bullshit that got spewed by these scumbag new wave anti-vaxxer. Oh, God, I despise that thinking. It's horrible, and it's lethal in some cases. Oh, I get sick from the flu vaccine. Okay, then you don't get the flu vaccine. Do you ever get the flu? No, well, you probably have natural immunity. Well, that's great. Oh, I'm not going to get this vaccine because vaccines make me sick. Well, you do know that this is a different vaccine than the flu vaccine, right? You do know that, right? And you do know that the incidence of reactions to this vaccine are minimal. Now, if you have a lot of allergic responses, anaphylactic responses to different medications and foods and environmental issues, then you don't get the vaccine. However, you do know that unless you have natural immunity, that you're vulnerable. And this person was Hispanic, as it was put, Mexican. That's a very vulnerable ethnicity to the virus. Now, if that person happens to get the Brazilian strain, which I warned her, if that person gets the Brazilian strain of the virus, that could be lethal. That strain has been showing itself to kill younger people. No, not everybody gets killed from it. Not everybody gets it. More people die from it. It's 30% more lethal is what some of the statistics are telling us. So I want to tell you, motherfuckers, get the shots. If you don't have a lot of allergic reactions, get the shots. Let's make it safe for everybody. Then you can go back to it. You're not going to go back to a new, to your old lifestyle. You're going to go into a new version of your lifestyle. I don't care whether you do exactly the same things. They're not going to turn out exactly the same things. They're going to have difference. Because I don't care if you have a written regimen and you follow it to the letter. Our consciousness has changed in the last 2 years. It's going to come out different. It's different than it was. So for you to think you're going back to your old normalcy, first of all, there was no normal because everybody has a different status quo, which is constantly changing like everything else because our molecules are constantly in motion and changing. The molecules that make us up and our thinking and what we remember about what we last remembered, those are constantly changing. So don't give me this getting back to normal. Don't give me that. I don't believe in getting in that. No, you're going to go to a new version of what you think is normal. And that may not involve traveling all over the world and seeing everything and becoming this great self-aware individual, blah, blah, blah. That may not entail getting together in large groups of people and getting drunk and laying all over each other. That may not entail fucking everybody in sight. Of course, it's not a bad idea if you really like it. That's going to entail finding, hopefully, a more productive way for yourself, which benefits yourself and others, right? No, that's not the way a lot of people think. A lot of people are in it just for them. Me, 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 me. No, we're not doing a vocal training exercise here. So there's this kind of weak narcissism, and I say weak because it's not strong like the true pathology of narcissism. However, it is a type of narcissism, I think, that is pervaded, especially that 20 to 44 age group. And I don't want to say it's millennials. I don't want to say it's late generation Xers. I don't want to say It's the generation after those. No. No, that's a little bit too much stereotype, but there are a lot of folks in that 20 to 40 age group who need to reinvent, I think, what they believe about where we might go. Good morning, everyone. This is Mondo Homunculero. It's Wednesday, the 31st, the last day of March. We were speaking about, in the last segment, we're speaking about the vaccines and how effective they are and how I think everyone needs to get a shot. And you gruff old tough bastards who don't want to do that, that's fine. You get me sick, though, you're not going to be so gruff and tough anymore. And no, I'm not going to come for you with physical violence. No. I won't need to. You'll do yourself in. Not very smart to do what people are doing in this respect. And that's because that shithead, that cowardly, fat, orange piece of crap who's hiding in Florida right now, that's because he influenced you to go that way. He took your worst fears and put them in front of you. When he himself has had the virus, got the best medical care in the country, beat the virus, and then has now fully vaccinated. That dirty son of a bitch. And you believe him and his lies and his bullshit? Yeah. Yeah, I don't believe him at all. He's a piece of shit. I hope you never buy into his crap, ever. Because he's full of shit. He is totally full of shit. At any rate, we're here today. Things are going well. We're getting some more music on for us here. This, once again, is Earth Fracture, their instrumental album. Nice stuff. So, yeah, let's all get vaccinated. Now, okay, I have a complaint, and my complaint is against MSNBC and CNN. Okay, the George Floyd trial is very important. I agree. But I will tell you this, I'm extremely bored with it. I really don't want to watch it all day. I really don't think it's going to edify me personally by doing that, so I'm not going to watch it. And if you enjoy it and you're watching it, I'm all for you. Yeah, keep on with it if that's your shtick. Me personally, I have no use for it, other than the importance of it. And it is very important. Let's hope that the son of a bitch gets convicted and put away. And then the boys on the yard will take care of his ass. Yeah, those yard birds, they'll clean him up. That's right. And I'm still kind of amazed that we on the left, especially the more radical, violent versions of the left, haven't done anything about these right-wing shitheads. Now, part of that is good caution, because a lot of those cats on the right there, they are ex-military, and they're very well-trained in the ways of war. And so there's probably a lot of us who are being intelligently cautious with this shit. At least I would hope so. We don't need to have a big civil war where we're shooting everybody and doing all that kind of stuff, because it won't prove anything. It'll just it'll be kind of like the actual civil war, where people who are not really part of that cause will come out and support these assholes just because They don't like the cut of the other side's jib. I do. I like our people. And maybe we're just being smart. Maybe we're just playing it smart. You know, the whole thing that really gets me is the whole perception of Antifa. I don't call it Antifa. It's Antifa. Yeah, slight difference in the pronunciation, and that's the way it's really always been pronounced, for the most part, consensus. I'm Antifa. Everyone's Antifa, who is anti-fascist. Yeah, I'm not an Antifa organizer, because there are no organizers except on the spot. Now, what is the real danger of fascism? Well, we've got those extremist groups, we've seen those, and they are fascist ideologues in a sense. They're not what the scholars want to call fascists. Just read another paper, a collection, I think it was about seven scholars analyzing the orange shithead. And their consensus was, he's not a fascist. Well, no, he's not a fascist. He's a fucking grifter, a thief, a liar, and an opportunist who ran his company as a sole prop, so he was basically an authoritarian. Didn't really run things by committee or, you know, by consensus. He just ran things the way he thought things ought to go. And he wasn't really that successful, contrary to popular misconceptions. However, a lot of his thinking and actions were authoritarian and actually had some fascist ideology wrapped up in them. And so we really, you know, we're really not big fans of him and his people that liked him. And it's just amazing when you delve into who likes him and why. It's pretty amazing. You know, people thought he was a great leader. The people wanted a businessman to run the country. Well, you picked the businessman who was a dictator in his companies. Yeah. Yeah, maybe he delegated responsibility to some folks. Maybe he had business partners that got to run the business. Maybe. We don't have a lot of that in front of us, so we can't really say that. I don't want business people running my country unless they have a collective consciousness, a collective intelligence for that. We don't need sole proprietor mentalities running our country. We are a country that has three branches of federal government. You know, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And those are pretty much out of sync right now. Well, I would say this. The legislative and the executive are more in sync than they have been for the last 8 years. Because they really fucked Obama up. That goddamn piece of shit, bar-hopping old turtleneck son of a bitch down there in Kentucky. He's just an obstructionist. He represents special interests. He is not a man of the people. And, you know, the Senate is just this geriatric fucking useless organ of shit. It needs to be done away with. It's just not needed, really. I think we ought to replace it with a body of citizenry, a rotating body of citizenry who are picked like people are picked for jobs, and then rotated every so often out of a collective body. If we want to have something like that, that's what it needs to be, not a bunch of old white men. Oh, there's like three black people in the Senate. Ridiculous. I don't think there's any Asians. Damn few women. It's not representative of the country. It's representative of a fucking high-end death farm. That's right. See, I called the... We have a big retirement community here in my region. In Arizona, it's called Sun City. And I call it the death farm. Because where people go to live out their golden years. Golden years. I've got a good feel for that. It's called incontinence. Yeah, the only thing golden is those rivulets if you don't make it to the John in time. And it's just another form of separation and segregation and a kind of a final moment in our societies, a final moment of separating the old from the young and creating and maintaining that gap. Well, a lot of us older people don't want to be around younger people. I'm not one of them. I love young people. I like being around all ages of people. But actually, the people from the ages of like 30 to 50, they get a little, well, because they're going through there's a lot of turmoil in that age that I've found and that I've seen in others. There's a lot of turmoil that goes on because we're struggling with mortality, a lot of us. We haven't fully accepted not everybody, but a lot of us haven't fully accepted our mortality. And the almost feeling of doom and futility that we have. Yeah, there's a lot of feelings of doom, futility. There's fear of the future. There's fear, uncertainty about a lot of things. The media doesn't help with that because they don't balance a lot of their, quote, reporting, unquote, with positive and negative aspects. I think you have to have both, and I think that they need to be balanced, and there are some outlets that do balance. You know, there's a lot of falsehoods when it comes to personal growth and development. One of the big ones is, and I don't know if this is actually correct or scientifically verified, there's one that said you need 11 positive thoughts to counterbalance one negative one. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, 11 to 1. Now, a lot of us come up with positive stuff that we really don't believe. However, it might be correct. So, you know, I'm not going to downplay that. I'm not going to say don't do it. I'm going to say, you know, let's keep going. And let's look for real positives. Not, you know, highfalutin expectations. No, sir. Because I ain't going to be sitting on the porch spitting no goddamn tobacco juice, you know, giving you the fucking rocking chair philosophy. I don't do that. I'm an old guy, but I ain't going to do that. I'm not doing that. I'm just like, you know, I'm looking at the overall picture that I can see, which, albeit, it, you know, and my critics would say, oh, he's very limited in his perspective. Well, I am, and so is everyone else for the most part. Some of us have more objectivity than others. I haven't really judged that in myself. I attempt to stay away from judging myself with the exception of finding mistakes and failures and areas of improvement, which really, for me, create opportunities for growth and success. Success doesn't mean what a lot of people think it does. A lot of people think success means personal asset wealth, the accumulation of it. Also, a lot of people think that comes in leadership and sports-type activities, and that's fine. That's not my concept of it. Success is, no matter what happens, having a feeling of security deep inside and happiness and having the will to continue to thrive and grow. That's what it means to me. And yeah, you can tell I used to speak a lot. I did. I when I was in Narcotics Anonymous. And the last part of this is going to be devoted to the assets and liabilities of being around that. Now, back in 1987, I had come to the point to where my career in drug addiction was coming to an end. I had started, I consider alcohol to be a drug. So let's go from A to Z, the last one being Xanax. So my experiences started with alcohol when I was about 12. I started drinking a beer here and there and down at the racetrack when I was working in my dad's barn in his company, in his thoroughbred racing enterprise. I'd have a beer here and there. I didn't get really drunk, but I'd get a nice little buzz. Then when I got to be 15, saw my dad dying, I got pretty depressed because he was my higher power and I knew he was checking out of the planet. Started drinking a little bit more. I wouldn't smoke weed, even though people I knew were smoking weed, and even though my brother had been an infamous drug addict, my half-brother had been an infamous drug addict and criminal. I resisted all of that, and I kind of stuck with the alcohol. Then finally, when my father died, I began to smoke weed, and then I began doing other things. And that progressed over a period of years. Until finally I was drinking and smoking weed almost every day, doing a lot of cocaine. I was an IV drug user when it came to cocaine, finally, because to me, snorting it was just nothing but irritation of the nasal passages of a very short-term high with no rush. Be better off to do speed, in my opinion, back then. It progressed into that, and I wasn't doing that every day. However, I was doing it enough to overdose. Finally, I got to the point where I really didn't want to do anything but that. I'd smoke a little weed, and I'd take Quaaludes. There's your cue. There's your cue for the day, you cucumber motherfuckers. Why don't you go and puke on the flat earth and let it drip off the sides? Anyway, I would shoot an 8-ball of coke in an evening, and it was really very potent coke, probably over 80%. And I started ODing quite a bit. If I didn't OD, I'd be so high that I'd do a couple of Quaaludes and go to bed. Anyway, I was racked. I was tortured. I had already gone through a big problem with alcohol where I'd got bleeding ulcers. And I just, my physicality and my employability had all gone downhill. I just was so depressed. And that's what it really was in my case. It wasn't addiction as a disease. It was addiction as a counterman to my depression. I was self-medicating my depression. I didn't know that. It took me years to finally come to that analysis. At any rate, I was looking for any way to get out. A lot of bad stuff happened the last week that I used. However, the last time that I took anything was February the 15th, 1987. I went out to dinner with two of my mother's friends from Canada. I dearly loved those people. They're wonderful people. Dempson and Mikey Cross from Edmonton, Alberta. I'll name them because I believe they're both passed on. At any rate, we went out to dinner. I had four scotch and waters, ate a prime rib, went home, went to bed, and started recovery that next February the 17th is when I counted it, and I stayed clean. I didn't take anything that wasn't a doctor's prescription, and even then there was no opiates in that. I didn't take anything for 30 years. Whereupon I had this gal come and stay with me. Boy, I wanted her bad because she was such a crazy, magical, fun person, I thought. Turned out that she had a pretty severe problem with methamphetamine addiction. At any rate, she was smoking a lot of weed when she came to live with me, and so I got her some weed, and I finally just took a bud, put it in my mouth, chewed it up, and I'd hoped that it would help with my arthritis. Well, it did. it killed a lot of my pain. So since then, I've been smoking weed and I've been having a couple of cocktails here and there, or a beer. And everything's fine in that area. Okay, so jumping back now to 1987, about 30 days into that, well, not even 30, a couple of weeks into that, I began going to 12-step meetings, and one of those groups was Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I believe that Narcotics Anonymous was a shit snizzle of everything. I thought that their concept of addiction was the way to go, the disease of addiction. As explained in their literature, at that time it was really only the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, which had 12 steps. First step saying, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction and that our lives had become unmanageable. So I liked the collective approach. I was convinced that I was powerless over my addiction because I had obsession and compulsion. However, I could stop using, though, anytime I wanted to. And there was the crust of the biscuit. That's the crux of the whole situation, was I finally realized after 30 years that using drugs was a choice, one, and that stopping the use of drugs was a choice. I wasn't powerless over stopping. And I don't really believe that very many people are completely powerless over making a decision to stop, get clean, and find a better way to live without it being centered around drugs. I still believe that. My life's not centered around drugs. My life is centered around my work, around my inner life, my love for myself and my family and my friends. That's where it is. And I knew that people loved me, even though I didn't care at the time that anyone loved me. I did, but I didn't. It was diminished greatly. I went on in that program of, quote, recovery, unquote, which I don't believe. I didn't get back to an original condition, which is one of the definitions of that. I went to a new state, which I believe we do every day. Every moment of every day, we are moving into a different state, a different psychological, emotional state. We jump from trance to trance. We move from trance to trance. This is what I think. This is what I've come to over the many years. Our perception is so limited that we don't actually see all of reality. We don't really know much reality, if any. Our realities are basically useful falsehoods that help us survive and reproduce. So that became, you know, my primary impetus. And today I've realized that there's a lot of different aspects of all of this. Continuing on with this discussion about recovery, 12-step programs, addiction, and all of that, I found after a number of years after 30 years, and after having to take an opioid for pain once, I found that it didn't unleash a monster, and that it wouldn't unleash a monster. And despite the fact that there is physical addiction, I didn't have it. I stopped smoking on my own after off and on stopping 3 or 4 times, once for 6 years. I just gradually did harm reduction. I stopped smoking every day. Then I was down to 5 cigarettes a week until finally I was only doing part of a cigarette every few days. And then I bummed a cigarette from a friend of mine, and I smoked it halfway down, and I threw it away, and I never smoked again. So for me, this addiction was easily overcome by decision. It didn't happen in one fell swoop. It happened a bit at a time. And now it's over. It's been over for 15 years, and I have no desire to smoke cigarettes. Occasionally, I get a craving for one, and then the aversion pops up, and it's gone. Now, for somebody who was a down and dirty, drag out, so I thought, dope fiend, this was an amazing revelation. However, as I began to speak to other people about these types of things, because I grew weary of the 12-step program because of its religiosity. The 12-step program is basically a religious program. It's a secular religious program, and a lot of people, after years of being involved, go back to religion. They go to Christianity usually. Some people become Buddhists, but very few. Buddhism is not really a religion anyway, it's a practice. So I got out of religion. I got out of religion and I got really tired of it. Long before that, I had been a Christian at one point, and it came to me that religion is unnecessary, faith is unnecessary, all of it's unnecessary. I don't need religion. And after years of attempting to form a relationship with a God of my understanding, or even misunderstanding, or of no understanding, that didn't work either. So for me, there's no God. And I was staying clean just by a daily decision, a momentary decision at first, and then became a daily, and then, you know, just stayed clean because I wanted to, just like everybody else who stays clean. And I worked those 12 steps on paper with a sponsor many times. And the revelation that I got from the 12 steps is it's a very basic set of principles, mostly moral principles. However, they're all wrong because it involves this God of your understanding, which really doesn't exist except in your own mind. And I think it's totally unnecessary. I think that scares more people away than it attracts. They say it's a program of attraction rather than promotion. It's not very attractive to most people. Most people are not attracted to that bullshit. I'm not. And then I was going to meetings all the time, going to a lot of meetings, 3 or 4 meetings a week, which is too many for somebody with 23 years clean. Because all it is a rehash of stuff. And, you know, my sponsor was telling me, yeah, you need to go so that people who are coming in, who are new to this, can see the results in action. However, along the way, I kept running into people who weren't going to meetings anymore. Yeah. And they were still clean, and they were living great lives, and they were doing what they wanted to do, primarily. And so that blew my mind, that why weren't they going to meetings? They didn't need them. That's why. And there was a pretty counterproductive current in the meetings, and that counterproductivity had to do with the fanaticism of the program. The program is can attract a lot of people who are prone to fanaticism. Me not liking that, but yet being getting attracted to it, yet practicing it, it became very unattractive. And then it was this constant spewing of God nonsense. There's a lot of extraneous beliefs that come in. Like, this is what my God wants me to do. Well, how the fuck do you know what your God wants you to do other than you're hallucinating it? See, that was it. People hallucinate this shit. There's no God. There's not, you know, there might be a little voice inside your head telling you, you know, that you should act in accordance with your conscience. That's not a bad thing, though, if you have a you know, good conscience. It's not a bad thing. Some people's conscience, though, is founded in shame and guilt and a repressive view of deity and the supposed ordering of that deity and its canons and its principles and all those things. I just found it completely unnecessary and actually counterproductive for most people. Most people didn't like that. Some people like to believe in all this, and that's fine and dandy. I got very annoyed hearing all of this garbage in these meetings all the time. And, okay, so I was told, well, it's a great opportunity for you to practice tolerance and acceptance of others. Well, for me, that is avoiding them and not listening to their garbage after 20-some years of hearing it. So we started a meeting for atheists, and that worked out pretty doggone good for quite a while, but then we couldn't find a place to hold it. So we just abandoned it. And it was very good. People loved it. They showed up all the time. They shared. It was very, very good. And so the steps are this basic framework that says, you know, you don't have to live life with drugs anymore. And you can replace that with your God of your understanding or by doing the next right thing. With nothing wrong with doing the next right thing if you know what the right thing is. And everybody's view of what the right thing is different. See, some of these people have this God that plays tricks on them and has a wicked sense of humor. And it's like this actual person that's up in the heavens or wherever it is or inside their head is where it really is. It's in the right temporal lobe of their fucking brain is where it is. And I would rather have just a good conscience based on moral integrity. Along the way, I also did a lot of self-development. I've talked about this before. That was more helpful than the program. And because I was clean and I wasn't confusing myself with a lot of distractions, relationships were a big distraction for me. And the anxiety over having or not having one or not getting the sex that I wanted created anxiety. And that no longer occurs. Thank goodness. It'd be great to have a relationship. I've already talked about that in this podcast. Don't have one right now, and that's okay. Have some very good women friends, just women that I absolutely adore as human beings. Anyway, it became apparent I no longer needed that 12-step program, and that was a very toxic environment. And it wasn't growing that much. Now, if it was attractive, I mean, there would be thousands. I mean, now, they used to have this saying in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, in the meetings you'd hear this, that if everybody who needed it went to meetings, we'd have to have them in football stadiums. Yeah, but what happens is lots of people come around, they take a look at it, and they realize they don't need that. Because about 29% of people who get clean do so on their own without any help at all. No therapy, no 12-step program, no peer support. Well, they might have some peer support. I think that's the part of the program that works, is peer support. And I think that if the program focused more on peer support and less on this phony bullshit notion of spirituality, which is really religiosity in a lot of cases. And there are people there who use a practical approach, and that's good. That's very productive. And they eventually will not go to very many meetings, and they'll be doing very well on their own. It is the peer support that works. And so peer support, and there are groups and associations of people who have peer support, who give peer support, who say, look, you know, And that there's harm reduction, which works. There's moderation, which is going to work for most, actually. Find that you can, now with the legalization of cannabis, moderation is a key element. You don't want to smoke anything too much because that's obviously harmful to your lungs. Edibles are fine. However, with all of this, moderation is key. Just like with eating, just like with sex, just like with everything we do, that a moderate middle of the road, which is different for every person, actually. Some people can eat 3,000 calories a day and not gain a pound. Other people eat 1,600 and they're gaining weight. Of course, it's the type of 1,600 calories that they eat. There are practical approaches to addiction that can be used nowadays, and most of them have been monetized. That's the sad part, because what I think Narcotics Anonymous needed to evolve into, it hasn't evolved. It's been static. And, of course, you know, because of Iran and the millions that go to meetings there, hundreds of thousands, you know, they've swelled their numbers quite a bit. I don't think their numbers have grown that much in this country. I mean, I could look that up right now if I wanted to. I don't want to. I don't really care because it's not a significant amount. And of the people that get clean and stay clean with never use again, that's a pretty small amount. That's maybe of the people in the rooms, 10, 15, maybe 20%, unless you're in a community like where I live. Here, there's the room is about, you know, two-thirds people over 5 years. Pretty cool. However, when you look at the amount of people that are a year or less, that probably ought to be the majority. It's not. And what that means is that keeps dwindling down. And so it just shows you that it really doesn't work that well. It's like taking a vaccine that's maybe 10% effective. Now, if there was a vaccine that you could get, first of all, this is not a disease, so there is some false equivalence involved here. If you could get a vaccine that was 95 or 100% effective versus one that was 10% effective, what would you do? Right. Quitting on your own is about 20% more effective than using the program. Actually, if you look at it on a comparative basis, it's 200% more effective. So why would you want to fuck around with something like that? I don't. I have no use for anything like that. Okay, so I'm going to do another podcast on a different date with other folks who have left the program. I'm going to have them call in and or come here into the studio, and we're going to do this because, and then we'll get somebody who's still in the program, talk to them, and even though it's not necessary. So that ends this discussion. Now, the next discussion I want to bring up is the infrastructure bill. Yeah. Now we're shifting over to politics. Now, a lot of people hate politics because they think it's just mumbo-jumbo bullshit, that it doesn't really affect them, that all these decisions are being made without, you know, their input or consent. And some of these arguments are extremely valid. I want to point out, when we ignore politics, when we don't exercise our right as a voter, then we allow that fraction of the government, which is a fraction of the people, excuse me, not a fraction of government. We allow the government, which is in state legislatures, is mainly Republican, to control our reality, our financial economic reality. And people look at this very tribally. It's like, well, those Democrats are demons or whatever. Yeah, the left has been, and the most Democrats are not what I would call left. They're mostly center-right. Yeah. Yeah, we're not fans. Let's put it that way. We're not fans of these, of that thinking and mentality. So in this new bill, there's a lot of stuff, and it's all delineated, and then there's the argument, oh, it's not pinpointed enough. This is a repugnant argument. And the taxes are too high. Yeah, the taxes are on four people who make over $400,000 a year. Their taxes are going to go up by about 30%. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. I don't give a fuck. How many people make over $400,000 a year? I ran the numbers. I pulled the numbers. It's 1.8%. So are we going to suck ass to 1.8% of the population while the other 98% suffers? Are we going to do that? You want to know what's wrong with politics in America? Is that people listen to those Nazi fucking bastard Republicans. They listen to those reactionary conservative Republicans who have been doing this shit for 100 years. They believe in the Aristotelian concept that the wise and the few should rule, and those are the people with assets and wealth. Sorry, motherfuckers. If it wasn't for us little plebs on the ground, you wouldn't have those assets and wealth when it comes to people that are in that income bracket. And a lot of them will quit their businesses. And let's give them an exit strategy. Okay, you want to stop your business because you're not making enough? Well, you know, okay, so let's say you're making like $700,000 a year, and now they're going to tax 28% of it, so that's basically a third of it, right? It's actually quite a bit less than a third, but let's say it's a third of it. So what's a third of it? That's about $300,000 a year, not even $300,000, $250,000 a year. Okay, $230,000 a year, something like that. Yeah, okay, so I'd like to have that $230,000. But let me ask you fuckers who make this kind of money this. Are you going to spend that money back into the economy? Are you going to use that money to employ people, to put people on a better income level? And then are you going to be able to maintain your profit margin and do that? Or how about this? How about your profit margin is less now by 7%? How about that? Okay, but you've actually doubled your income. So is it about the percent that you're making, or is it about your overall income? Rest my case. So the Republicans must be crushed. They must be removed. We don't need their mentality in our government because they're favoring the few, the very few, while the many are economically repressed. And they can make these little arguments about, well, you know, median income has increased. You know, it's really a significant. Well, that is correct. That's not average income. Remember, median income is different from average income. I'm not going into the numbers. You can look it up. We really, as a people, ought to be done with this mentality. As a people, we need to gut these pricks. Figuratively speaking, we need to get them out of the way, especially on the state level. Look at what they're doing with voter suppression. Here in Arizona, they want to screw everything up so that people who are new to voting don't have that opportunity. It's almost like they want to take away our mail-in ballots. They've already decreased the number of polling places. Wow, just tremendously. Instead, we should be increasing the number of polling places, shouldn't we? And shouldn't we be maintaining the integrity of our mail-in ballots? Our mail-in ballots are perfect. They audited all this shit and found nothing. And you know what? The Republicans who did that ought to be sued. You know, we can't take them out in the street and beat them. Even though a lot of us feel maybe that is what should be done. I know one thing. Why do they carry guns in the state capitol? Why do they have like a a state a firearm? Why do they have a state handgun? Like a state bird or a state animal or something. Why do they have that? Why are they carrying guns on the Capitol? Because they're afraid they're going to get shot. Because, what's her name? She was on the board of, she was on the Corporation Commission. Her name was Rose something. Excuse me for a second. Goddamn coffee creamer gives me drainage. Yeah, what was her? Mary Rose Wilcox got shot in the ass with a 357 or a 40. I mean, it was a 44 Magnum. She got shot in the ass by this disgruntled citizen. And that guy went to prison over it, of course. And, you know, now you've got motherfuckers carrying guns on the Capitol because they're afraid they're going to get shot. Well, that's not going to happen because the left isn't going to shoot them. We're going to shoot anybody. The real left. I mean, a lot of the real left, don't kid yourself, Virginia, we're armed. A lot of us are armed. And why? For the real reason that people claim the bullshit on the Second Amendment is self-defense. You know, it's like these insurrectionists, these traitors, treasonous bastards who stormed the Capitol. Now, not that I agree with Congress, not that I have all this faith in Congress and think it's so wonderful, and not that I'm a card-carrying Democrat. However, it does interrupt what we have, the basic shards of democracy that we have. And this is a minority of the population that wanted to enforce their will on the majority of the population. And they are not the few who are the wise. Even so, we don't want those people running the show for us unless they have the best idea that the vast majority of us agree with, right? Right? You know, they're just, these Republicans are really lucky that the people are pretty complacent. You know what happens? Okay, so let's say we get this beautiful infrastructure bill, which is a little short by about $8 trillion. But let's say that we get this enacted. Do you know what that's going to do for the country? It's going to create millions of jobs. It's going to lift even more people out of poverty. It's going to deliver internet to millions of people who don't have broadband internet. That's what it's going to do. And Biden said something. Now, I'm not a Biden fan. Don't get me wrong. I am a fan of some of the things he's saying. He's talking about gutting out these goddamn internet providers, gutting their profit margins out, and lowering the cost of broadband internet significantly. Because you know what? In Europe, they don't pay what we do. No, they don't. They don't pay what we do for cell phones. We have oligopolies and monopolies running these aspects. Running our communications economy. This is what's wrong. See, what's wrong is people want to blame the government for this. Well, yes, government holds the ultimate responsibility. However, if you keep voting in your favorite football team, who happens to be a bunch of right-wing slobs, a bunch of grifters, a bunch of goddamn thieves, a bunch of fuckers who want to support that 1.8% of the population, if you want to support those sons of bitches, you're voting against the best interest of most people. You're voting against people getting more information. Now, albeit a lot of the information that comes in over the internet is bullshit and has to be fact-checked. However, hasn't it always been like that? I can remember when I was in high school, in social studies classes, they taught us about reading the news, that you have to look behind the headlines to the actual facts. It's like, horrible accident causes mayhem downtown. Okay, so there was an accident where there was a rollover. Two people were killed and six people were injured. The fire department and the police department were on the scenes and people were transported to hospitals and the morgue. There you go. There's the facts. That's what we were taught in high school. We were taught that in high school. Don't people get that kind of education anymore? Then I happened to hear a program talking about the serious mental illness that exists in a lot of these QAnons. A lot of, they call them cucumbers. I think that's an insult to a wonderful vegetable known as, actually, I think it's a fruit known as the cucumber. What an insult to that plant to call them cucumbers. They're just deluded is what they are. They're deluded. A lot of them are crazy. They need mental help. And that's why I said, a lot of these Trump supporters, not all, there's people that were strictly in it for the money, dude. Don't forget it. They thought this guy, yeah, and they cut the 400,000 plus people's taxes. They cut corporate taxes offshore down to less than, I think it's around 20% now. That's going to get jacked up to 28. These numbers are way too low. It ought to be 95%. That's right. If you want to do business here and keep your money overseas, great. We're going to take 95% of your money. So do business here. We're going to take, maybe 60. Yeah, and that's the thing. Those rates are too low. They're way too low. Yes, it's true that it was 90% back in the Eisenhower days. However, here's the caveat. There were a lot of loopholes that people skated through and still got the huge profits. That needs to go away. You know, this is not a country that is built for the 1.8% who make over $400,000 a year. Yes, I would like to profit over $400,000 a year net after tax. Of course I would. Almost everybody would. However, if I had to make $1 million to do that, I'd be happy to pay the tax. I'd be happy if I was making that much net before tax and I had to pay that much tax, which would be what, 60%? I'd be happy because I'm still making 400 grand. And, you know, I know I could spend 400 grand. I can spend it in a week. I know that, or 2 days. That's not the point. The point is that we need to provide for all of us, and we have a community responsibility. We have community responsibility to provide for the general welfare. And businesses without employees usually don't make it. Now, there are those people who are completely financialized. They do not have any employees. They make all their money from financialization. Great, we need to tax the fuck out of you guys. Sorry. And I'm really of the opinion that it needs to be on people who make, over $500,000. I think Elizabeth Warren is pretty tame on her. Yeah. So you make $500,000? Okay. On financialization? Okay, we're going to take 50%. How much revenue will that produce? I'm not going to run the numbers. You can run the goddamn numbers. People hate tax. Well, I hated tax for a long time. I didn't pay any for years, and then I had to pay. I really had to pay. And you know what? I don't quibble with it at all anymore. I am still pissed off that 50% of that money, it's actually probably less or a little more than that, goes to the defense effort, which is unnecessary. About 80% of it's unnecessary. Just think, if those billions of dollars, let's say it's 700, it's actually more than 700 billion. It's more like, what, about 2 trillion or a trillion and a half. Let's say that that got reduced by 70% and that all went into taking care of our people. What would happen then? You see, another problem is that the military is still glorified. It's still believed by many of the people that they're protecting us against foreign enemies. By the Constitution, they're not able to protect us against domestic enemies. And what we have mainly these days is domestic enemies. Now, we know the Russians are constantly meddling in as many things as possible to undermine us because they hate us. Because let's face it, I mean, Matt Taibbi, and I forget the other gentleman's name, who were over in Russia, after the fall of the Soviet Union. They saw the World Bank come in, the International Monetary Fund come in. They saw all these assholes come in, fuck everything up, and make the environment, the economic environment, conducive to oligarchs completely controlling everything, of which they do now, and of which Putin is one of the, supposedly the richest one of them all, supposedly, probably maybe even the richest man in the world. Maybe he's a trillionaire. We don't know. We do know this. Russia has an economy about the size of Texas. Well, maybe not now, since Texas is really taking it in the shorts because of their stupid fucking state executive branch. They're fucking idiot fucking bastards, like that lieutenant governor son of a bitch. God, these guys, you know what, man? In my younger days, we would have wanted to round these guys up and beat the fuck out of them and then ship them off to Antarctica or put them on a sightseeing trip at close proximity to the sun. Yeah. Yeah, these guys are criminals, and they are not working in the best interest of the vast majority of the citizens they serve. The problem is that the majority of the citizens elect them, and they're deluded into thinking that these bastards have their interests at heart, their best interest. They do not. Here in Arizona, same thing. The rural communities are infected with this Reaganism crap, and so they vote for Republicans. We also have large pockets of conservatives in our metro areas. Not so much Tucson. Tucson, I gotta love, because they are so wonderfully more shifted to center-left, center-right, center-left. Here in Phoenix, we have a big pocket of that as well. However, there's just these big pockets of conservative slime here. And now people are like, conservatives are really scared that people from California, liberals from California, are moving in and are going to take over. Well, how are you going to stop them? And is that really happening? Well, maybe. Yeah, we went a little bit. Well, we have two Democrat senators now. Kirsten is just an appalling garbage heap of conflicted ideology. She somehow got sucked into that Republican Democrat. I don't look at those people as real Democrats, but that coalition of knuckleheads between our federal and state representation, which is all about crossing the aisle and kissing rich people's asses. Now, when your employer tells you that they can't fill a position because they don't pay enough, yet they're making record profit, there's something wrong. And the problem is no democracy in the workforce. So that's it for this series of podcasts. We'll get on all this shit later. You know what my standing soapbox crap is. It's Thursday. I want to wish everyone a great weekend. My weekend starts now and ends on Tuesday.